thinking about being present, being attentive to God's presence this morning. But we last week, just to recap for those, just if you weren't here last week, we reflected on how important it is on our spiritual journey to think about the things that are helpful to us and the things that might be holding us back, to be sort of a regular process of review and think, is this really helpful to my journey? Do I need a change? Do I need to, you know, do something different to reawaken my journey with God? That kind of process and reviewing shouldn't just be a one-off. It should be something we keep doing. And it requires sort of us to be, I suppose, aware of what's going on, what's happening in our spiritual journey. So that it doesn't become mindless, I guess, or routine, but instead remains fresh. Now, so this week we're thinking a bit more about kind of this becoming present, this because any journey that you go on requires a level of awareness, whether that's just on the path ahead or what we're taking with us or the people who are coming alongside us. I will confess, it is easy to be distracted, isn't it? I once fell down a set of steps because I was, as I was walking down them, because I was too busy admiring the view rather than looking where I was going. I actually had to look to see if I could, on Google Maps, to see if I could see the view. I could see the set of stairs I fell down. I thought, you didn't need to see that. Basically, I was looking at the view, didn't see the stairs. It was between two kind of concrete sides. And I tumbled to a heap at the bottom. And this passerby helpfully came to the end of that and went, can I help you? And I was like, no. And got up and then had to call my mother to come and help me because I couldn't walk because I'd sprained my ankle rather badly. Now, the view was good. I'm not denying that the view was lovely, but it was not lovely enough to merit the sprained ankle. So if I reckon what I should have done is paused and taken in the view, taken in what had caught my attention, because then I would not have inelegantly descended to the bottom of the stairs. You see, my hope is that our spiritual journeys will not result in us having getting physical injuries or anything, but if we get distracted, if we allow things of the world, and by that I don't mean just the beautiful vistas, but the things of the world, if we allow them to capture our attention, then they have the potential to potentially damage our walk with God because we're too busy looking at them and not at where God is. So we need to be attentive. We need to be attentive to what it is in our walk with God that is helpful to us on the way and what's not. But we also need to be attentive to where God is on the way. Why? Because that leads us to a deeper understanding of him and of ourselves. It can help us discern his guidance and it can help us make wise decisions about what it is he wants us to do. And then perhaps in the difficult times that we quite frequently find ourselves in, we can find a sense of peace and comfort from noticing where God is. You see, we shouldn't do this kind of noticing God out of a sense of duty or obligation. It should find its root in love, of us responding in love to the love that God has for us. When we love someone, we want to spend time with them. We want to do stuff together. So from that love that we have of God and that God has for us, we want to do life together. Wherever it is that we travel. Now, I'll admit, while the classical image of someone who travels, the traveller, is that you're going from place to place, but for the majority of us, as we journey with God day by day, the reality is that most of it is familiar and known. Most of it is the ordinary everyday that we encounter. But even without stepping away into a new destination, we are all on this pilgrimage of faith. If we choose to go somewhere we have never been before, that provides us with a lot of things that will catch our eye. But we can also, if we are willing to embrace a deepening quality of attentiveness to where we are in the here and now, this can also give us new perspectives and insights. So let's turn to God's word and read from Matthew 6, and we're going to have a little think about what we find there that might give us a bit of insight into this sense of being attentive to God. We're reading from Matthew 6 and 25 to 34. It happened last week when I had different version in my notes. I don't know what happens when I put it in there, because I'm going to have to read it off there, except I can't see the end of the thing. So is there someone who's got that version? just randomly. If you've got a Bible in front of you and you've got this version, because otherwise I'm going to have to read a different one, and I'll have to forget. We'll have to go back to that one, and then you can't see what it says. I'll do that. I'll read my read wherever you're at, and I'll read what I've got in front of me. Otherwise, we'll have big chaos. It's fine. I'll go with what I've got. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. See, I wonder if quite often we look for God in grand signs and great moments of revelation, in the sort of the amazing, I suppose, you know, you kind of go, oh, sunsets and rainbows and all that kind of mountains. But the reality is that God's presence is woven into the fabric of our everyday lives, just waiting to be discovered in the simple and the ordinary. And in the passage from Matthew, Jesus reminds us that birds don't have storage barns or farm the land, but God takes care of them. They don't worry about tomorrow, these birds. They simply live, trusting in the provision of God. So one thing perhaps to think about is, what might it look like for us to live in such trust? Because these verses encourage us to shift our focus from anxiety about material needs and become attentive to God's presence, trusting in his provision. Jesus reminds us God's care is evident in the simple, in the ordinary, in the everyday aspects of life. By observing creation, we see a reflection of God's faithfulness. And if God cares so deeply for the birds that fly, for the flowers that grow, how much more does he care for us? And the challenge in this is for us to trust in God's presence, not just in the extraordinary events, but in our ordinary, or even our daily lives that we live each day. We're invited to live with faith rather than fear, recognizing that God knows our needs and provides for us. But to live with that kind of trust must mean us, there's a need for us to be open to seeing God's hand in our ordinary. How might we become more attentive to the signs of God's provision and presence around us? Because the invitation to each of us is to cultivate a deeper attentiveness, to notice the sacred in our everyday, to welcome the moments of stillness, even if they feel extraordinarily long, and to appreciate the unexpected gifts that emerge when we walk with open hearts. Because I think there is something about being present. Something about being present that's really important. To not be distracted by, as Tim said, by phones, by people, by whatever, to just be present in the moment. And it's something that has kind of captured society, isn't it? You come across the term mindfulness. Seems to be quite a buzzword at the moment, which is roughly the practice of paying attention to the present moment. And I read up about it a little bit, and I guess you could call it a type of meditation where you focus on being intensely aware of what you're sensing and feeling in a particular moment. And there's suggestion, I found, that its benefits can include it reduces stress and anxiety and depression and overall well-being, which sounds great, doesn't it? But if we disassociate that practice from our, from us as people of faith, then I think we've missed something. We need to remember the centrality of God in all that we do. So if we come to this practice of being mindful, let's bring God into this. We'll root it in, we need to root that in our relationship with God. And all that we know about him from God's word. We need to be mindful of God with us. But you know what? It's not actually a new thing. Way back in the 17th century, there was a monk called Brother Lawrence, and he, this book, The Practice of the Presence of God, is a collection of his letters and conversations and teachings that focused on his absolute desire to maintain an ongoing awareness of God's presence in everyday life. He wrote it hundreds of years ago, but he was passionate about this idea that we can be in constant conversation with God, constantly aware of him, regardless of what we're doing. And he believed that even the most mundane of activities could become acts of worship, like cooking and washing up. He wanted to see everything that he did as an act of love for God, picking up a simple approach to just love God wholeheartedly and live in humble obedience. And rather than setting out a sort of schedule of specific times for prayer, he wanted to integrate praying into all that he did, holding a conversation with God. And he wrote this. His simple approach was such that he wrote this: he, that is God, requires no great matters of us. A little remembrance of him from time to time, a little adoration, sometimes to pray for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, and sometimes to return him thanks for the favours he has given you and still gives you in the midst of your troubles, and to console yourself with him the oftenest you can. Lift up your heart to him, sometimes even at your meals, and when you are in company, the least little remembrance will always be acceptable to him. You need not cry very loud. He is nearer to us than we are aware of. That's something to aspire to, isn't it? But even Brother Lawrence realised he couldn't do this perfectly. It's something we need to cultivate, hence why it got called the practice of the presence of God. I mean, he wrote something, carried on, wrote this quote, which is, in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must first apply to him with some diligence, but that after a little care, we should find his love inwardly excite us to it without any difficulty. So that sense of we've got to, a little care. I mean, a little care, what does he mean by you've got to apply a little care? There's a scale for you. There is a popular idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master something. Has anyone come across that before? Yeah. It's not actually based on anything substantial, apparently. Somebody came up with an arbitrary figure and certainly the world latched onto it. Now we're stuck with it. The truth is, not all learning or practice is equally helpful, and neither do we all start from the same place. So it might take someone less than that, someone take someone more. But the thing is, to gain a new skill, what we have to do is begin. If we don't ever start, then we've got absolutely no hope of improving. And once we've started, we then need to be intentional and deliberate about cultivating that ongoing awareness. For us, if that's what we're thinking about, if we're moving from I want to be more aware of God, then we need to start and then we need to keep going. It's a learning process. It's not necessarily something that always is going to come naturally, but we need to practice and get better at it. But maybe something of that is making an intentional invitation to God. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before, but we know that God is with us, don't we? We're told that. Scripture tells us over time and time again. But perhaps what sometimes we need to do is deliberately invite God into whatever we're doing. So it could be as simple as, I'm going for a walk. Jesus, do you want to come with me? I'm going for a drive. Jesus, come with me. I'm doing the washing up or going shopping or having a cup of tea. Jesus, do this with me. It's about making the kind of invitation that we might to a friend, to Jesus, to be intentional, to make that drive into it. And We might think it might be complicated or difficult, but if we know that God is with us always, what's required is our attentiveness to that truth. But if we're going to move up the scale, if we're going to move from beginner to, you know, novice to learner to skilled to what, we might have times and things where we get it wrong, where we forget. We suddenly find out, I don't know, 3 days in, we're like, oh, I haven't done a thing. But at that point, not to berate ourselves or be, you know, kind of frustrated, but just to come back to that remembrance that we've got out of practice, we need to get back into it and simply invite Jesus to come along with whatever we're doing. A few weeks ago, we were thinking about the To Be a Pilgrim hymn, and we touched on that, and also noted that in Scripture, it's really clear that quite often God meets with his people in ordinary places. I mentioned like Moses, who was at work and noticed something unusual, and which was the burning bush, and he went over to investigate and encountered God. You had Elijah, who was going through a really tough time in life, and God met him in the choir after a wild wind and a fire and an earthquake. But our encounters with God are not always linked to unusual weather phenomena or land phenomena. In fact, it's sometimes the very normalness, if that's a word, normalness of the world that can invite us into encountering God. One of my favourite authors, I've mentioned it before, is Barbara Brown Taylor, and she wrote a book called An Altar in the World, and I'm going to read this quote from it, which is, "People encounter God under shady oak trees, on riverbanks, at the tops of mountains, and in long stretches of barren wilderness. God shows up in whirlwinds and starry skies, burning bushes, and perfect strangers. When people want to know more about God, the Son of God tells them to pay attention to the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, to women kneading bread and the workers lining up for their pay. Whoever wrote this stuff believed that people could learn as much about the ways of God from paying attention to the world as they could from paying attention to Scripture." The art of journeying with God is not just about physical movement. It's about a transformation of perspective. It's about slowing down so that we can perceive the world and God in new ways. Earlier this week, I went for a walk around Babs Mill Lake. And I needed a bit of time to get outside, to give myself a bit of headspace, which brings us back to that concept of mindfulness, and being out in nature is one way that's advocated as being helpful. But rather than, and I'll put it, just a walk, I went with the intention of having a chat with God on the way. And although we didn't chat all the way around, I didn't manage for the whole trip I went round. But I had a real opportunity to bring some things before God and inviting him into those situations. Now, I will confess, I have been here for just over 2 years, and this was the first time I've made it to Babs Mill Lake. So while I was walking around, seeing as Andy's not been, I thought I'll take some photos. So I took this photo, and then I took another one. And I was just almost back at the car when I took this one. Now, this one might be a little bit more unusual. I think, what on earth am I doing? But I like the way that the tree branches were kind of coming out from this sort of central point. I don't know, sometimes things just catch my eye. But as I then walked closer to this patch, because obviously I'd stood at a distance and taken it, what I could now see was not really obvious from a distance. But close up in that grass, and I don't know if I'll go back to it, you can just see, possibly pick out these tiny little yellow dots. That's what they were. The grass was studded with these tiny, beautiful crocuses or croci. I never know what the plural for that is. But and even then, the pale yellow petals, from a distance, you couldn't see that orangey centre. It needed me to go close and have a look. And that got me thinking about how this might be a bit like being attentive to God. Sometimes we can see the big picture, but sometimes we need to pay attention for the smaller things. Coming back to trusting in the truth that God is always with us. And it's by inviting Jesus into all that we do, even something like going for a walk, it can invite us into those places where we pause and we look closer and we notice where he is with us. But being attentive to God isn't just about our personal awareness. It's also about inviting others into our journey. When we share our experiences, we create space for others to notice what we've missed, which Tim beautifully illustrated for me. I had no idea what he was going to do. But in that 2 minutes, when people shared what they'd noticed, they weren't things that I'd noticed. So we end up with this much bigger picture because we have heard from other people. You know, someone else's insight can reveal perhaps what sometimes we might have been too close to see or unable to see. And as others share stories with us, we can also hear how others have been attentive to God's presence, which can then encourage and inspire our own awareness. Oh, they saw God there. Perhaps that's something that I could do too. So how might we engage more intentionally in this journey together? How can we cultivate a deeper awareness of God's presence, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us? And in what ways can we become more present to our surroundings to more fully appreciate our journey with God? As we continue on our journey, we need to embrace the call to be more present. We need to be more attentive to God and where he is in our everyday lives, and attentive to his provision and his leading. So my prayer is that we'll be people who discover the sacred in the ordinary, that we notice those small moments of grace and intentionally invite Jesus into all that we're doing, allowing him to make our ordinary extraordinary. We need to do it so that we can grow in our personal walk of faith. We need to find joy in the profound but yet simple reality of Emmanuel, God with us. And we need to encourage one another on the way so that together we recognize God's presence more fully. So as we travel onwards, my prayer is that we will each have eyes and hearts and minds fully open and fully attentive to God with us and all that he's doing in and amongst us.
Moment we'll come to communion, a particular form of that attentiveness, but before we do so, let's sing. You can be seated or stand as you wish. Be still for the presence of the Lord.